Episode 138.
Multidimensional Jesus.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Ben Anderson.
I'm Ben DeBono.
And we're back. All right, it's a time loop episode. I know you're listening.
Everybody just turned off their iPod.
No, but we have you here introing it for the first time.
Yeah, this does not mean that I'm endorsing time loop episodes.
So we're flashing.
In fact, I didn't even know we were doing this intro until 2 seconds
we're
ago.
We're flashing back. We released this episode on May 25th, 2011.
Actually, I can endorse this time loop episode because there's a good reason for us doing that.
Yeah, there is.
We are revisiting the topic of parallel universes.
Just last episode, we talked all about parallel universes. And so this is just another good continuation of that talk if you hadn't heard it the first time.
Well, there's no way you can cover a topic like this in one episode, so hopefully the content is quite different between the two. At least that's the goal.
I do know that you might remember we watched a lot of Fringe during this time, and we did have to kind of go back to that as an example that the four of us hosts were familiar with.
Yeah.
So if you haven't watched Fringe, you might be lost in a few of our examples. But, I should point out then, we also had two guest hosts that day.
Yes, Talon Gwynn and Skip Crust.
That's right. We had just went out there for a mission trip, helping Talon and his family, and Skip came out with us also. So, yeah. I guess that pretty much intros this, huh, Ben?
Alrighty.
All right, here we go. Off to May 2011 for an episode that we used to call Notes from the Multiverse, but today we're going to be talking about multidimensional Jesus, and just wait until you hear Ben's awesome theory. Do you remember this at all?
A little bit.
Do you remember the phrase?
On universalism?
But do you remember the phrase raccoon Jesus?
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, my gosh. You might want to come back and listen to this.
I might need to listen to this.
Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DeBono. And Matt, we are back.
We are back and in a different state, Ben.
We are in beautiful New Raymer, Colorado, coming to you live from Mercy Trails Ranch, the home of Mercy Ministries.
Yes, and we are not alone tonight. We are joined by not one, but two guest hosts.
We, in fact, do have two special guest hosts with us in studio tonight. We have Talon Gwynn and Skip Crust.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Hey, welcome to me and welcome to you, Talon.
Well,
so Ben, what are we doing tonight, Matt?
Let me break it down. After sci-fi news, we are going to be talking about a subject that is near and dear to my heart. As you all know, I love the parallel universes.
You do.
The multiverse.
Multiverse.
Alternate universe.
All sorts of alternate universe, parallel universe, alternate timelines.
Yes. And the reason we waited until today to do it is because, Talon, you actually requested to be on this episode.
I did request to be on this episode.
So I hope you have a lot to add to it. Otherwise, this is going to be...
We did no show prep, and we are relying exclusively on Talon for everything.
So, Talon, why don't you tell us what we're talking about? Oh, boy.
This is going to be the long
episode.
Yeah, all right, let's get to the sci-fi
or
news.
Or a short one. But it'll be good. I mean, we've been up, Matt, since 4 in the morning, this could be a very intriguing episode.
Yeah, what time is it right now?
I don't know. It's not 4 in the morning
it
anymore. It's much later.
8:54 p.m.
Mountain time.
Yeah. And we've been up since 4 a.m. Central time.
So
I can verify for all the listeners that Ben actually is not as crabby as he was the last time that you guys broadcasted.
No. He's substantially happier.
Yeah, I'm happier.
Which really isn't saying much.
That's true.
He's slightly less crabby than last time.
I have to keep things up, you know, keep it going good.
All right. I think it's time to move on immediately to our main topic.
We could go to an alternate reality.
This is going downhill. Please play the music. Move us on to the next segment. Ben.
Matt, Talon, Skip.
Are we ready to talk about this? It's been months in the making, Talon.
It has been months.
Why don't you kick us off with kind of what you had envisioned? What's something you want to talk about? And if it's interesting, we'll do it.
Way to open up the topic.
Yeah.
Well, no pressure or anything, then.
No pressure.
Okay, so what I had envisioned for this episode is that we would talk about parallel universes, where every choice you don't make splits off into an alternate reality where you did make that choice.
So yes. Kind of branching timelines.
Branching timelines.
So right now there's another universe that just got split up where Skip Cross did not speak about bat nipples on the Sci-Fi Christian.
A universe where Skip is more happy in the future when we don't hold the sound clip against him.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, there is.
Yes.
There is also... This also brings up many puzzling questions. Is there a universe where Jesus did not die for our sins?
Is there?
Is there a universe where Eve fell and Adam didn't?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is there a universe where God didn't make us?
Oh.
There's lots of different possibilities, I guess.
I have many thoughts on these.
Should we take it one at a time?
Well, how about we got a listener from an email from Brandon.
Yes, we also had one from
Scott.
Scott on Facebook, yeah.
But wasn't he just asking us like to talk about alternate realities?
Yeah, but I'd throw out his question because I think it's interesting.
Okay. I need to find it.
All right.
So we're really... Oh, there we go. So Scott Herzog from the Sci-Fi Diner Podcast.
SciFiDinerPodcast.com.
Hi, Scott. I'm a listener.
Yeah. I think you even got a shout-out on the Sci-Fi
Diner.
I did, and I
may be really proud.
Yeah.
Thanks, Scott.
So Scott says, so... One can obviously not talk about parallel universes without thinking Fringe. My question is, what distinction do you make between parallel universes, alternate timelines, and deviant timelines? The way Fringe deals with parallel universes seems to blend these ideas.
Interesting. Skip, I want you to speak to this.
So the three ideas are alternate universes.
Are parallel universes, alternate timelines, deviant timelines.
Okay. The one that's most appealing to me is deviant timelines.
What does that mean to you as opposed to alternate timelines?
Yeah.
A deviant timeline, the word to me infers that there's something that is not supposed to happen that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the Fringe universe, we've got the universe where... Walter stole Peter, and we've got the two worlds that have now split. Mm-hmm. So... Now we've got Walternet, who is the evil version of the Walter that we love,
mm-hmm.
and we've got Folivia, who is the evil version of the Olivia that
we
love.
Is she evil?
Well, we don't know that, but
I don't think she's anymore.
Yeah.
No.
It clearly tells you in the show, as you watch it, that the alternate universe, or the deviant universe, I would prefer to use, is the universe that probably shouldn't have ever happened.
So what's the difference between that and an alternate timeline?
Wait a second, I don't think that's true. They coexisted.
Yes. Yeah.
Because Walter found he made a window to look into it.
Okay, yep, you're right.
I think Fringe is not... If we are going to be talking about alternate realities, deviant timelines, mm-hmm. Fringe is not a great example.
No, it's a parallel universe.
Yeah.
It is a parallel universe, but if in Fringe there is only one...
No,
there's... One parallel universe?
There is only one parallel
one universe. Other, you're saying.
Yes.
Oh, gotcha. I got it.
Yeah, I would agree.
That's true.
Yeah.
And... If that is true that there are parallel universes, then there aren't just one.
That's
like with the branching timeline thing you're talking about.
Yeah, with every choice that you could or don't make, that makes a new universe.
Now, there would also be like the type of thing, like say Narnia, could be considered an alternate universe, but not necessarily a parallel universe.
Or a deviant one.
Or a deviant one, because it's completely different than our world.
Well, isn't it kind of just a fantasy realm? Couldn't we say that about Westeros or
Middle-earth? In the Narnia world? Earth still exists. So, like, Game of Thrones, Earth doesn't exist. It's just a completely different world.
And if you remember in The Magician's Nephew, has everybody read The Magician's Nephew?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
They
My favorite Narnia book.
They see Agreed. Narnia being made.
Oh, that was awesome.
They go to the empty universe and watch Narnia being made right then.
Yeah. Good point.
So I would say, if we're defining our terms, that would be an alternate universe.
Right.
What we see in Fringe is a parallel universe.
Correct.
What Talon is describing as the branching would be an alternate or deviant timeline.
Nice job,
Agreed.
Ben. I think that's
I would,
pretty
I would
good.
Agree on the definition. Yes.
Hey, can we take a quick break here? Skip, you watched our review of Fringe, and you had some different opinions. Since it is a parallel universe, do you want to tell us just briefly your feelings on Fringe?
Well, I hate Fringe a lot less than you guys do.
Wait, so you do hate it?
No.
Okay.
I'm saying that I actually like Fringe. I love Fringe. And I think part of the reason why, I was thinking about this afternoon, part of the reason why I love Fringe is that I've wanted a show to engage me the same way that X-Files did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been, 10 years? More than that since X-Files has
started. I think it ended 2001.
Yeah. 2001, so about 10 years.
So, and I've wanted a show to engage me the same way that it did. And so I've attached myself to Fringe the same way that I did with X-Files, but I don't think that we have the depth of story in Fringe that we did with the X-Files.
Agreed.
Yeah. And so as we were talking about this off air, we were talking about how Fringe is way more about the characters than I think, way more about the characters than the overarching story. Mm-hmm. And they try to make us believe that it's about the overarching story, and that might be one of the weaknesses of the show. Hmm. However, I still love it, and I think the reason why I love it is that I love Walter's goofiness.
Yeah.
I love the Peter and Olivia play.
Wait, who?
Back and forth. Peter and Olivia.
He doesn't exist anymore.
Who's Peter?
Yeah. You're talking about, right, he doesn't exist anymore. Right. Okay. Which, by the way, my argument for what the Observer said at the end of the season was that we don't have enough information to infer whether or not they're wrong or whether or not they're actually saying that Peter never existed.
Yeah, because Talon, you made a good point.
And if you remember, observers do make mistakes. Back in the second season, there was an entire episode about an observer that screwed up, fell in love with a human, and got himself killed.
Yeah. Which, by the way, was my favorite episode in season 2.
Yeah, the episode called August, I believe.
Correct.
And right. Yeah, so observers have been known to make mistakes. Even, I think, September, our main observer, I think he messed something up that had to do with Peter.
Yeah,
you're right. So observers can make mistakes. So who knows what we're going to see next season.
So as the biggest Fringe critic here, I do agree with Skip that the characters are the most important part. And the characters are great in the show. Love Walter, love Olivia, you know, Broyles, Peter, all those guys. But the plot does matter, because otherwise we could just watch a show of them doing their laundry and it'd be intriguing. And
well, that's what that was the brilliance of Seinfeld, is that the characters were everything. The plot almost didn't even matter.
Yeah, but that's not the case with a show like Fringe.
No,
the plot does matter.
The plot,
and they have done their best to drive it into the ground this last season.
Silence.
Disagree.
Okay.
Disagree.
But we should get to Brandon's email.
All right, let's do it.
Because it's kind of long. And so I will begin reading it. Hello, amigos. I like that Brandon calls us amigos. In fact, you were wearing a sombrero earlier today on our road trip.
I got it right now.
So that does not look good, and I think you're going to... Okay.
Yeah.
You managed to put it on without ruining your equipment. So,
yeah.
Brandon, that was amazing that you read our minds.
Yeah, because I was going to bring a cowboy hat to the ranch here, and I couldn't find one, but I did find a sombrero.
So Brandon actually has been critical of you in the past, Matt, but you guys are going to have a lot in common here, because he begins his email by saying, parallel universes, alternate realities, the other side, whatever you want to call them, is my all-time favorite subgenre.
Yes, Brandon.
Of science fiction.
Nice job.
I love thinking of what could be going on in the multiverse and spotting the little differences when it is portrayed in TV and film.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of the History Channel.
Hmm.
So he might want to check out that
docudrama. 10 hours.
This is terrible.
Go ahead.
And their show called The Universe. Has anyone seen this?
I have not.
I have not.
I have heard of it.
Okay. I'm uninterested.
They have an episode on parallel universes. I am now interested.
Wow.
They had an interesting theory. The science community thinks that there are 4 different kinds of alternate realities. Oh, we should have read this before we defined our terms.
Yeah, let's hear it.
The first kind is just an extension of our own universes. The universes are so far away that the light from the stars there has never even reached us. The second kind terrorizes, and Brandon actually sent a correction to his earlier email saying he didn't mean to say terrorizes. He meant to say theorizes.
Oh, okay. That is way different.
All right.
So the second kind...
Autocorrect.
Terrorizes. That's what he sent his email. We're like all psychically connected.
I hate autocorrect.
It's the headphones.
Yeah. But that must be it. The second kind, I'm going to say terrorizes because that's funnier.
Right.
Second kind terrorizes that universes are like cosmic soap bubbles floating around in the ether known to scientists as the bulk. As you may know, soap bubbles can spawn other bubbles. This is where the idea of choosing a different path, what Talon was talking about, to go down spawns a new reality. The third is that different realities occupy the same space. This is the way Fringe goes about things. The fourth type is where the laws of physics, as we know them, go out the window. Everything could just be gas. In the first three types, we can apply the idea that there's another us out there. When it comes to justifying, so I think the fourth type would be more like a Narnia type thing.
Okay.
At least in terms of what
I think
we're talking about.
What they are talking about in the first and fourth terms are not referring to alternate universes in the way that we're referring to them. I think they're referring to them in the way as alternate universes, such as space is infinite and there are more universes than just ours.
Mm, okay, yeah.
Okay.
So coexistent universes,
that makes sense.
Just not attached.
So then Brandon continues, when it comes to justifying the existence of an alternate reality biblically, I see no mention of other universes in the Bible. We'll see if we all agree on this later.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Ben who mentioned in the Do Aliens Exist episode that the Bible is written from a human perspective, so how on earth would the authors of the Bible know what is happening on other planets where aliens are going about their lives? Thank you, Brandon, for quoting me to defend your argument. Well done. The same philosophy applies here. The Bible was written from the perspective of our universe. I love that phrase. I'm going to read it again. The Bible is written from the perspective of our universe. Such a cool hermeneutical statement.
Yeah.
The Bible being written thousands of years ago, one has to question if people could even think up the concept of alternate realities. Back then, people still thought about the Earth was flat and the Sun revolved around the Earth. My point is that parallel universes is a fairly new concept in the cosmic timeline. From a spiritual standpoint, however, I have this to say. Because we are all saved through the blood of Jesus, I would have to believe that no matter how many universes are out there, there would always have to be one constant, one thing that never changes, and that would be Jesus, who would always be our Savior and would always die for us. When it comes to what could be, we just know that nothing is impossible with God, so why not alternate realities?
Why not?
Good email. Excellent, excellent. Well, I've got some thoughts, but I don't want to get too far ahead.
Okay.
Agreed.
Well, I think we should respond to it.
No, I totally agree. My thoughts are, and we can come back to it, but my thoughts are similar to what you guys were talking about with the alien episode, which is, if Jesus died, did he die for only our sins? Or if there's other alternate universes, did he die for those alternate universes as well? Same thing as the alien
episode. Is there an alternate universe
with
where
an alter Jesus?
Are, where you or I or Matt or Skip is not saved?
Yes. Ooh. So I actually have these topics broken down into, I think, alternate universes has implications for humanity, Christology, and predestination.
I just had a universalism type theory. Listen to this.
Boy.
What if in all the alternate universes, there's a chance for us to be saved? And as long as we're saved in one of the universes, we're ultimately saved.
Dude, you're completely. Like reading my notes.
What do you think? Okay, well, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So,
and you're
so,
also reading Rob Bell's book.
So that would basically
love wins.
That would basically say yes, God.
No, alternate realities win. The sequel to Love.
I love it.
Wait, I heard that
I'm going to sell the rights.
I heard that Rob Bell's next book is going to be about quantum physics,
Rob
and that
Bell.
Has to do with parallel universes. Have you guys
that
seen
does.
What the bleep are we here for? Or have you heard about that movie?
What the bleep?
It's about parallel universes and quantum physics or quantum theory.
But I think it's just. What are we here for?
No, there's a bleep in there somewhere.
You just want to believe in the bleep.
Yeah. So, Rob, wait. I need to talk to Rob for a second.
Rob Bell.
Okay. If you're listening
our
to this.
Our non-listener.
And your next book is called Alternate Realities Wins, we will lawyer up and we will go after you and sue you through the nose. Because that is my idea, and you cannot steal it.
So, Ben,
I don't think I'm going out on a limb here. You're probably safe, Ben.
So, Ben, it sounds like we're on the
probably.
Same page here. So do you think – I'm going to address you, Ben, even though there's four of us in the room. You think it's possible that say there's an alternate version of – say that I'm not saved here in this reality, but there's an alternate version of me that is saved. As long as he is a Christian, I then am safe?
Here's how I base this.
This is what I think. It would be like when we die.
Thanks for letting me respond.
When we die, all of our alternate versions all become just one self. And that would be kind of weird. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, this comes from the zombie Jesus guy.
This is lost-ish.
Okay.
So in order to get there, though, I'm intrigued by your theory. But good. In order to get there, we need to answer a question.
All right.
Are your parallel selves connected to you? Or are they basically just like clones of you?
Yeah, that's interesting, because in Fringe, we would say they're connected.
No, I would say
which one? That was an either-or question. So
they are not connected.
They are not connected. So they're like clones of you.
Yes.
And we're supposing that alternate universes actually exist, correct?
Well, that's what the whole episode's about.
It's a theoretical conversation. If an alternate universe exists,
okay,
what are the implications for the doctrine of humanity?
Take Fringe for example. When Olivia gets hurt, In normal universe, does Folivia also experience the same injury?
She does not.
No.
But so it's not a physical connection, but are they connected in a spiritual
way? I think yes, because when I picture it,
can you prove it biblically?
Hold on, let me read my Bible real quick.
I can.
Well, go ahead then.
Prove that an alternate universe exists biblically.
No, this is all theoretical. So we're not saying that. We're saying if an alternate universe exists, can you prove that you and your alternate selves are connected spiritually?
Read the Bible verse.
Okay, so here's my theory. if I like what Brandon was saying about Jesus being the constant, because okay. I think that it would be impossible for there to be another universe where Jesus does not die on the cross or where mm-hmm. he sins or does not die for our sins.
Yes, impossible.
So correct. Jesus transcends the multiverse.
Okay.
He is
agreed.
He is one
so,
being.
So no matter being. What happens, no matter how what alternate history is that they're experiencing, Jesus, his life would be identical.
Yeah.
Yes. He may not have walked on water. He may have done sure. other miracles or lived a different life, but he still didn't sin.
Yes.
Therefore, all the alternate Jesuses are connected.
They are all one.
They are all one because ultimately they're all one. Even though yes. as their human parts are making different choices, spiritually they're all one because they are all of God. They are all God, and they are all ultimately...
Or are they gods?
No, just the one God.
Pantheon.
Pantheon. That was a weird moment. What just happened?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, go ahead. Keep going. You're building momentum.
Okay. Therefore, humans are created in God's image. Therefore, we are also all connected spiritually with our alternates, just as Jesus is connected.
So,
I don't think I agree with that.
I agree.
Wow, because Matt agrees.
I have to, because this is what I already thought before we came here today.
Okay.
Let's let Talon...
Shoot me down, Talon.
Yeah.
We are all made in God's image. We all agree on this, correct?
True.
The Bible says it, so yes.
We all do agree on this. Does it say we are made in God's spiritual image?
How else would you interpret the doctrine of Imago Dei?
Imago Dei.
I do not know who that is.
Oh, he's a dude. But
Imago Dei is a Latin for image of God.
I think the Bible would infer that when we are made in God's image, we're made like him emotionally, spiritually, and some would even say physically.
I wouldn't say physically.
If we are made... No. The reason that Jesus transcends the multiverse is because he is a spirit, he is a deity.
Yes.
Along with God. If we transcend and are all together, that would be putting ourselves on the same level as God and Jesus.
No, because Jesus transcends in a way where he doesn't sin. What we're saying is that it's the spiritual part of Jesus, the part of him that is God, transcends the multiverse. What I'm arguing is that, therefore, because we are made in God's image, the spiritual part of us also transcends the multiverse, but we're still sinful. So it doesn't mean that we're on the same level as God. It just means that the spiritual part of us that's made in his image likewise would transcend the multiverse.
So if you suggest that the spiritual part of us is what is connected, and that's what you're saying, correct?
For the purpose of this theory, I am saying.
Okay, okay. So, if that is true, what does that mean?
I think it means that if one version of yourself gets saved, you all get saved. And so, that in the Bible, doesn't it say that he's patient so that none will, die?
None shall perish.
None shall perish. So, what if he's waiting until in all the alternate universes... It works out so that one of your versions becomes a Christian.
Actually, Matt, we can prove this biblically.
With my Peter verse?
No.
You guys are getting way out on a very large branch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are.
But this is actually not a very large branch.
That's what we do here. This is Friends theology.
Yeah, I've heard you refer to it that.
Ephesians 1:23, speaking of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, who brings everything together. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:25, Paul says that Jesus must reign until he has put all things under his feet. Therefore, eschatologically, God's purpose for the multiverse is to bring everything together into a perfectly harmonized unity with all the different universes that unites everything according to its perfect plan. By bringing all the multiverses together, the new heaven and the new earth are created because he purges the sin from every multiverse, brings them together, and creates a perfect universe, eschatologically, where everything is united perfectly and everything is all in all through what Jesus did.
Wrong.
Skip.
Theoretically.
Here is why. If you're going to propose that that there are multiple universes where there are multiple selves of us that may or may not respond to Christ, I might buy the idea that Jesus transcends all of those universes and then he won't sin in any of those universes.
Yes.
But what I cannot buy is that the Bible would be written in the same way in all of those universes.
Agreed.
Oh, because they are all...
Completely.
But was the Bible inspired by the Holy Spirit?
Yes, it was. But the Bible was also written inspired by the Holy Spirit through men.
So grammar might be different, sentence structure might be different, but the Holy Spirit would ensure that the same messages
the
are
message
in every Bible.
Is delivered.
I disagree.
No, that can't be.
Why would the Holy Spirit inspire different Bibles?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Because it's a multiverse.
But the Holy Spirit transcends the multiverse. Why would he inspire different Bibles?
Maybe Jesus because we're did different things in every universe.
Sure.
Yeah, he didn't walk on water in one universe.
So those details are going to be different.
Yeah.
But the doctrine won't.
How do you know that's identical? It's the identical argument to different translations of the Bible, is that, or even in some of the textual criticism, where some things might be a little bit different from manuscript to manuscript, but we know that the message is the same.
Yeah.
This is a much bigger picture of that. So we might have completely different.
What if we could cross over and do like textual criticism with multiple Bibles and get the ultimate Bible?
That was too much.
That was almost zombie Jesus-ish.
That was almost zombie
Jesus. That's Matt's bit that he plays. Weird theology stuff.
Yeah, so
I think it's a good idea.
This completely makes sense to me. Totally. Completely.
We should teach a class, Matt, someday when we're both doctors.
Okay.
Multiverse hermeneutics.
Yes. No, yeah.
Nobody
we'll have to come up with a better title than that, but maybe
I would take that.
Fringe theology. Then you'd get
fringe theology would be a great class.
It really would.
Week one, multiverse hermeneutics.
Week two, are aliens compatible with the Bible?
Week three, zombie Jesus.
Week four, are ghosts compatible with the Bible?
And at week five, three, clone you Jesus. Lose all of your people.
This is really. Oh my gosh.
Week six, you're fired.
We have our entire curriculum
planned. Week seven, open our own college. Sci-Fi Christian University.
It's too late. At week three,
no, Sci-Fi Christian Community College. Let's not get too far.
I agree, Tom.
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. How about Sci-Fi Christian Community College?
Sci-Fi Christian Seminary?
Eventually.
Yeah, I see where you guys are going.
I like how Skip just ignores everything we just said.
Because I'm trying to bring it back. I'm doing what you're normally supposed to do, Ben, is bring it back.
Okay.
I like what you're saying about the possibility of many multiverses and many Jesus. I still can't buy the idea that there would be that the Bible would. The theme of the Bible would be the same across all of those universes.
We're talking about the doctrine of the Bible.
Forgive me, the doctrine of the Bible, not the themes.
Why would God give different doctrine to different universes?
Because with the many, many multiverses that you will have different people with different needs, even though they might have the same bodies, but they would be different people with different needs and different lives and different lifestyles, different. I don't know that the Jews would be God's chosen people then in the multiverse. How do we know it wouldn't be the Greeks or the, I don't know, whoever.
Therefore, doctrine changes.
I think if we're assuming that God doesn't change in any of the universes,
bingo,
he's going to make us all, we're going to all start the same with the same needs spiritually.
Matt, what is theology?
The study of God.
And does God change between multiverses?
He is unchanging.
You're assuming that God does not change across universes. What I'm saying is that I believe that God is big enough to be different to the different universes and still accomplish his goal.
All you're saying is that different universes might see slightly different parts of God, but all the doctrine would come together. It would not contradict.
I am not saying the doctrine would come together at all. What I'm saying is that God is diverse enough in himself to be different enough to all those different universes that maybe it's not even Jesus that he sends, but he sends some other kind of sacrifice that also symbolizes the same thing. In other words, in the other universes, the doctrine is so different because God is so diverse. We're assuming that God is going to do the same thing in the many, many, many different universes. And I think God's way bigger than
that. We are assuming that the second member of the Trinity will in some way come to Earth to save humanity.
You're assuming that the doctrine of the Bible is going to be the same across those universes.
But Skip,
I would disagree.
In what you're saying, and I can see what you're saying a little bit, but in what you're saying, then we'd have to accept.
That's a nice way of saying you're completely wrong, and I'm going to tell you why.
Then we'd have to assume that Jesus, the second part of the Godhead, doesn't exist in some universes. If you're saying that he sends something or somebody or some.
What I'm saying is we might not call him Jesus. We call him Jesus, sure. But another universe might. There would be a different symbol that would do the same
thing. Our theory's good at that.
No, what you're saying is all of those universes would give the doctrine of the Bible, and it would say the same thing across all those multiverses. And I'm saying,
but there would still be a message of salvation. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it would be exactly salvation through Jesus Christ this way, but there would always be a message of salvation.
What if there's one version in another universe where Adam and Eve never sinned?
Well, then it would be unnecessary.
My point. All of this would be unnecessary.
But none of it. That doesn't change God then.
No, it doesn't change God, but it changes doctrine. Why do we need a sacrifice for sins if sins never occurred?
It doesn't change doctrine. It just changes the doctrine they are given.
What if,
and that is my point, Ben.
Do you think that it would – let me ask you this real quick, and then Talon, we'll take your point. Do you think it's inevitable that humans were going to sin, or do you think that there is a – if we're saying there's a multiverse, there has to – there would probably have to be one where we don't sin. Or is it inevitable that we had to at some point sin?
There will be universes where we did not sin, or where, what I was just going to point out, where Eve fell and Adam didn't, or where Adam fell and Eve didn't. If that is the way it is, then the doctrine changes. You only need to... Did Jesus still come for just women? Well,
but we need to get something clear here. The doctrine doesn't change, because doctrine is the study of God, and God doesn't change. The doctrine that is given to that universe might be different things might be emphasized, but that doctrine that each universe is given is still true universally.
Also, Jesus is co-eternal.
Multiversally.
Jesus is co-eternal with God the Father.
Yeah.
So he didn't have to come in human form to exist. He could still be around.
Maybe there's a universe of raccoons where raccoons are sentient beings and Jesus comes
as a raccoon. I don't think that's true. I'm fairly certain that's not a possibility.
What is your problem?
This is another zombie Jesus idea. Again.
This episode called
Raccoon Jesus. That's it. No. Raccoon Jesus in the multiverse.
Oh my gosh.
Ben,
I need a moment to recover here.
I hope the sci-fi Christian has not just jumped the shark.
It's possible.
Raccoon Jesus brings us down.
Yeah.
Goodbye, new listeners.
You really can't tell that Ben's been up since 4 o'clock this morning.
Hey, cut me some slack.
I want to also go on and talk about alternate timelines at some point. Do you guys want anything else you want to say
about...
Isn't
that tied into what we're talking about?
It's a little bit different. Do you think it would be... This might be more of a time travel episode, but when it comes to... Let's go again to Fringe. We're going to spoil the end of the season if you haven't seen it.
Should we wrap up this discussion quick just by saying our concluding thoughts before we move on?
It might tie into what you're saying here.
Okay.
So we see a character go back in time to try to change what would be the future to us. So they're in a messed up future. They go back to try to correct it. So does that, Talon, does that future stop existing, or does it continue existing and now he's going to start a whole new universe?
It continues existing and splits off into a completely separate universe.
Interesting.
And it actually... by traveling into the future, splits it into three different universes.
Interesting.
How so?
It splits it into the one that that whoever saw when they went into the future. It splits it into one where the person did not go to the future in the first place. And it splits it into one where the person who went to the future goes back and fixes it.
Yeah, we saw this on Heroes. Skip, you liked Heroes, right?
I did, yeah.
So, yes. So Hero would travel to the future, see something all messed up, or Peter went to the future once. Mm-hmm. And he went back, so you're saying this would just create all these other choices?
Yep. It would. The simple act of going into the future creates more universes.
Interesting. So you have a very strict theory on parallel universes that says it's all based on just the choices, right? What you can and can't do, and everything makes so many other infinite universes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Good. What were you going to... Oops,
I was just going to say maybe another good example and something to talk about here, since Ben hates Ted Dekker. And
I have never read Ted Dekker.
Oh, well,
so
okay.
I don't hate him.
Okay, so you don't hate Ted Dekker. You just don't like his stuff because you've never been introduced to him.
I never said I didn't like it. I'm not super interested in reading
so,
it.
Ben, you don't like anything, okay?
What?
I completely
why do
agree
I like
this.
Sit there and basically gush over Dark Knight every single week, and well, I'm like so happy about that.
So I mean, so Ben doesn't like Ted Dekker. So what are you gonna say?
What?
It's not true. Dave doesn't like Ted Dekker. I've never read Ted Dekker.
You have a very, very high threshold before you go. I like something.
Oh yeah, this is true. But I have no opinion on Ted Dekker because I have never read anything.
Which automatically means you hate him. My point, Ben. Yep.
Slander on the sci-fi Christian.
Okay. My point is, maybe a better example of some of these time travel and how these universes work would be the Circle Trilogy.
Circle Trilogy.
Yeah. Have you read
Dave,
that,
Dave, are you paying attention?
I have read Black.
Black, one of my favorite books.
It's awesome. So the Circle Trilogy is a really good example of this because we have Thomas Hunter who is asleep, but then he goes...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry. All right, so he sleeps, and then he wakes up in one universe, and he goes to sleep, and he wakes up in another universe.
Yeah, so he's going back and forth.
And he goes back and forth. And somehow these universes are connected, and we don't really know if he's time traveling mm-hmm. or if he's actually traveling through universes or if he's reliving a life he once lived, mm-hmm. and we don't know any of this. So I guess the question that I have is – to Talon, when you say that your theory is based upon choices that you make, what about theories like this, where you've got something else that's going on, maybe in a different timeline somewhere else, that impacts maybe the life that we're living right now, but it doesn't change the life that we're living right now?
I think when you go that far, you have moved on from alternate realities and have now changed to a parallel universe. Because in the alternate reality theory that we've talked about, the other universes cannot affect the one we are in.
That's
interesting. So now we're in more of a parallel or alternate universe situation.
All right, Ben, take it away. You had a wrap-up, you said?
Well, we don't have to wrap up, but just in terms of our debate before, here would be my final word on the subject, and then we can give Skip and Talon their final word to make their closing argument. I would say that the main question you have to answer in terms of this discussion is, are you connected to your other selves, your alternates?
Mm-hmm.
If the answer is yes, then I think you can make a strong case for the universalism thing that you were talking about, because no matter how salvation works, even if it works differently in different places, it's always either you are right with God or you are not right with him. And that's going to be universal. So one of your alternates is going to be in right relationship with God.
And as long as just one of your alternates is okay with God, then that brings you under the umbrella. Thus, everybody would be saved, making God loving, just like Rob Bell said.
You are a universalist.
Only if parallel universes exist.
Yeah.
Now, if you answer that you are not connected in any way to your alternates, and they're basically just like clones of yourself, then that's all out the window. Because then everybody is in for their own thing.
Yep. Okay. But if that's true, then think about heaven. Totally full of...
Hi, Ben. Hi, other Ben. Hi, Ben.
You would fire me from the Sci-Fi Christian, and you would just post it with yourself.
We'd just yell about pirates. Today's topic is going to be Why Pirates 3 Sucks, Part 7826.
Worst podcast ever.
But then heaven would not have room.
What? It's infinite.
In my father's house, there are many, many rooms.
Yeah. Okay. Plenty of room.
You criticize me for singing.
There are infinite Matts and infinite Bens and infinite Skips.
I don't want to be there.
What?
Okay. Skip, that would be...
What if he said on the Sci-Fi Christian, Skip would prefer a room in hell
than to be in heaven? This is great.
There's been so many amazing quotes by Skip on this episode.
Skip just said he does not want to be in heaven. I don't
want to be in a heaven with many
infinite Mats
and Bens and Skips and Talons.
Okay.
That would be terrible.
Therefore, they should be connected.
That's what hell is. We've just figured it out.
That's it.
Wow, this is a great episode.
In hell, all my alternates are sitting there. We're recording. Tune in next week for Raccoon Jesus.
Yes, that does sound like hell.
Okay.
Yeah, I would argue, to close it up, I would say that there's no possible way that you can argue that if there are parallel universes, that you're connected. I would say, and I don't know if we need to get into a definition of a clone, but I would say that there are probably other me's, but in those other universes, there might not even be me, because in those other universes, my mom and my dad may never have married.
That's true.
But we're only concerned with the ones
where you do have alternates for this discussion. We're only concerned with what's the relationship between you and your alternates in the universes where there are alternates.
I would go so far as to argue that if there are other alternate universes, there are not alternate Skips, because I would never have been born.
Well, there's probably some universes where you're not, but you're not the only one.
Like the branching theory.
There would be infinite universes where you are not born. There are also infinite universes where you are born.
Yeah, no, I would buy that. But I would also say that in those alternate universes, I would not be connected to my other selves.
Hmm. Well, I think we won this debate, Ben.
I think so. We did pretty amazing.
Loser.
They answer the question of connection differently than we do. And that's all. If you answer that differently, like I said, you come to a different conclusion. Mm-hmm. That's the only difference.
Good. Well, glad to find out that we're right here, but that's why we're the hosts. It's cool. We're glad to have you guys as a guest.
They're not professionals like us, so we can't expect them to be as well informed.
Hold on. How many episodes?
Could you turn off their mics?
Yeah. Just okay. Where should we go next? Ben, did you have another topic you wanted to hit?
No.
Okay, excellent. Talon, did we sufficiently answer the question that you had posed to the Sci-Fi Christian?
Which was?
The email you sent us that asked about this topic.
But, Matt, you had wanted to talk about Gateway Universe.
Gateway Universe?
Like yes, Narnia.
I did. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Bring it up.
There are, in many books that I have read, Narnia, in The Magician's Nephew, in the book The Magicians by Lev Grossman, they, at some point in these books, characters enter a world which is filled with whatever. In The Magicians...
Like, The Magician's Nephew, for example, had those different pools.
Yeah. In The Magician's Nephew, it's...
The wood between the worlds.
It's a forest filled with different pools. In The Magicians, it's a city, empty city, filled with fountains. And it just goes on forever and ever and ever. And every fountain leads to an alternate universe.
So, is the question then, is that a possibility for our universe? Could there be a wood between the worlds?
Is that the question?
No.
That is not the question.
What's the question?
What is the question, Ben?
It's your topic, bro.
I think what you're asking, Talon, is could something like that exist, correct?
Correct. And I believe no.
I'm down with it.
I would say that it sounds to me a little bit like the Mormon belief that there are spirit babies that are everywhere and they're waiting to be born.
Wait, tell us about this. Why is it like that? I'm not familiar with it.
I'm not sensing the connection.
I'm not familiar with this either.
Well,
I'm familiar with it, but I do not see the connection.
Well, to me, it sounds like when you're describing the city with lots of different fountains that go, and I haven't read the book, so the city with lots of different fountains.
The Book of Mormon?
No.
No.
No. We're talking about what, The Magician?
The Magicians by Lev Grossman. Terrible book.
Okay, yep. So let's not use the terrible book reference. Let's use Narnia and the wood between the worlds.
All right.
Okay. And so if there's many, many pools and all of these universes, it sounds to me, and depending upon where you go, you get to enter into those universes. It sounds to me like the Mormon belief that when a man and a woman come together and they have a child, that there's a spirit baby waiting somewhere to enter in to that world.
Okay.
And so there are multiple different babies that are waiting, and depending upon who you choose as your mate will depend on which spirit baby comes to Earth.
That's kind of like how our actual physiology works. Whoever you choose as your mate and determines who you have as a baby. Well, except for the spirit babies. Not true. It's more based
on... What are you talking about?
I think it's more based on genes.
What the heck?
Okay, so...
Yeah, it's exactly like it, except for all the parts where it's not exactly like it.
Okay, so...
This has been another... Foray to Brilliance featuring Matt Anderson.
It's kind of like it.
No.
I can see there's some parallels. So, Skip, how are you tying that together?
Like the part about babies being born in both your theory?
Well, yeah. So what I'm trying to say is that that belief is a little weird. The spirit baby belief.
Just a bit.
And just as weird as that is, I think the Gateway Universe theory probably would be just as weird to me. So would we say that if that were true, that heaven would be that gateway?
No.
No.
Where would that be?
I do not believe that this theory exists.
If it were to exist. Completely.
If it were to exist. Okay, let's just say it does exist. It does exist.
Yeah, just like we're supposing that parallel universe.
Exactly.
Exist.
I mean, that's what makes this fun.
Yeah.
I can prove that this doesn't exist in a moment, but for the moment, we can, for the sake of
argument. Did you bring it up just to make us look bad?
So we try to say,
okay, let's talk this out. I can prove it is not true.
Talon is never invited back.
So he like proposes a question. I think that we should talk about this, and my answer is no.
Think your thoughts, guys, and then I'll prove you wrong.
Well, I would love for you to prove me wrong on this.
Well, let's hear your argument.
No, wait. No, I want to give an argument first in favor.
You're awful combative tonight, Matt. I like it.
Here's what I'm thinking. In the same way that we thought about aliens and the other worlds and how God could have spread the gospel in that way, I mean, it could be the same thing in these alternate versions. For example, let's say in one world where maybe animals talk, God decides to come as a lion. Just saying, for example.
Narnia, in case you missed it.
Or a raccoon,
depending on whatever world that you end up going to. I mean, the gospel could be delivered in many different ways. I think, though, Jesus, or whatever form that Skip would have Jesus take in
not
this,
a raccoon.
In this alternate
or
world.
Or a spirit baby.
I mean, he would still have to come, so then that would kind of go against the dying once for all.
Has anybody read Watership Down?
With the rabbits?
Yeah.
I've heard of it.
It was great book.
Mentioned Unlocked.
And I think that if that was an alternate universe, we would need to have Rabbit Jesus.
So, actually,
did you bring that up just so you could call out Jesus as another animal?
You got it.
So, Ben, do we think that Jesus died once for all?
Yeah.
So, do you think that an alternate universe could... Does that line up with an alternate universe where Jesus comes to that world? Or would that break break our doctrine of once for all?
Say that one more time, Matt. I missed it.
Agreed.
If Jesus, let's just say Narnia, if Jesus came in some form and sacrificed himself on a stone table, then would that be breaking our doctrine of Jesus had to only die once for all? Because it doesn't.
Because if Narnia is real, then he died as Aslan on the stone table and as Jesus.
I think we would have to figure out doctrinally what do we believe about once for all. Mm-hmm. In other words, are we talking about all in our universe? Are we talking about all time? Are we talking about all universes? And those are really, really different questions.
And again, if we go back to Brandon's thing where he said the Bible was written for people in our universe... Our Bible wouldn't say something about all the people in Narnia. It'd be Jesus died once for all in your world.
Right.
Well, or you could look at it this way, since we have talked about how Jesus transcends the multiverse, or we'll call him Jesus, but he could be called Aslan in another universe.
Okay.
So the second member of the Trinity who comes for salvation transcends all the multiverse. His moment of sacrifice, however that looks in a particular universe, are all united eschatologically. They're all at one point in time. Not necessarily one point of time, because God transcends time, but God sees them all as one moment. So therefore, Paul could be, when he says Jesus died once for all, it could really be one moment that transcends time and transcends universe and is ultimately connected in the person of Jesus Christ.
That's a stretch, but I like it because it makes my theory work.
I mean, it's all a stretch.
It's way out on the furthest.
That's why we do fringe theology here.
Yes.
I mean...
It's fun to talk
about. I don't
actually
believe this.
Well, thank you for saying so.
I think it's safe to say none of us really believe in parallel universes.
Well, I was going to ask that at the end. Let's end with that question.
Should we end it right now?
Do we have more to talk about?
Well, what between the worlds, that concept, doubtful, wouldn't you say, Talon?
I can prove it wrong right now.
Prove it wrong.
Go.
What is the one thing that I'm going to pose this question to Ben, since he's read both. What is the one thing that the magician's nephew and the magicians have in common?
The magic?
Magician.
Agreed. The only way they get to this parallel universe is by magic.
Yeah, but we've already talked about this off air, that magic could be just another word for science.
Yeah,
it's super advanced science.
Science that we don't understand.
Yeah. So I don't think that rules
out. Plus, miracles, kind of like magic. Yeah.
Kinda.
Do you think God would allow us to go to a different universe?
But that's not the question. The question is, could it theoretically exist?
I think he would allow us if he wanted us to.
Yeah. But even if it doesn't exist, God could theoretically, this place could still exist, and God could theoretically not let us go there.
Theoretically.
So the question is its existence, not our interaction.
So I think we just proved its existence is possible.
I think we just proved all of this
true. If you say that its existence is completely not true, you are absolutely wrong because you are putting limits on God.
Hey,
you just argued against yourself, dude.
Well done, Talon.
This is one of Ben's mind tricks. He does this to me too.
Yes, he does.
You will debate for my side. You will agree with me.
Well, yeah. So, all right. So let's do it, Ben.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
Exactly.
Round table right now. Do you theoretically believe, well, not theoretically because it's your belief, do you believe that parallel universes exist any form?
Let's start with the non-hosts, Skip.
I do not believe they exist.
Plausible.
Oh, a little Mythbusters reference. Yeah.
You're saying plausible as in it's...
It is possible. And Skip, I believe you are completely wrong.
Oh, wow.
By saying they do not exist.
Best moment tonight.
I'm going to have to say that I would tend to say I don't believe it, but I can say it's not possible. I would say it's not likely, but that there is a chance, because God can do anything he wants. There's a chance, but not very likely.
Yeah.
I am shoving this in Skip's face.
You can't
face
say
right
it,
now.
It. There's no way it could exist.
Well, yeah. You asked me, do I believe that
okay,
it exists?
Yeah, okay. That's
okay.
True.
So my question, my answer yeah. is no, I don't
fair,
believe
fair
it
point.
Exists.
Okay.
But you do think it's possible?
Theoretically. Like, this small a chance.
I'm saying that my Bible doesn't rule it out.
So you're saying yes. there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I will not admit defeat.
As we've been studying all this different fringe theology, I think what we've realized is all these things that most people would take and say, there's no way, when you really study the Bible and look for answers on it, you can never say for sure.
You can never say there is no way.
There's a lot
way.
Of things that are... Yeah. Not likely, but still up for grabs.
I think part of the struggle for me is that I don't want to believe that these other people...
Why would you not want to? That's the opposite. I want to believe.
So now here...
Okay, so Ben, go ahead.
What does the poster on my wall say, Matt?
I want to believe.
There you go. That's my answer.
But answer the way that we did. So do you think it does?
No.
Do you think it's possible?
Yes.
Okay.
And I want it to be true.
I don't believe that it exists. Mm-hmm. I say that you can't rule it out. But I don't want to believe that it exists because it makes my theology much, much more messy.
I'm fine with a messy theology because I don't necessarily want to understand everything that God has in mind. It's kind of cool that it's too big.
I'm okay with not understanding. It just makes it really hard.
Yeah.
Well, if it exists, we probably won't find out about it, so long as you are the pastor at Epic Life Church.
I know. Under your leadership, I'm screwed.
So don't sweat it, bro.
I'm good. That was the best moment.
I would like it.
Your predecessor will have to deal with all this when we discover the alternate reality.
Yeah, but you were plotting my demise this afternoon.
We were.
Ben made up a secret coup plan to assassinate.
And then we're just going to record sci-fi Christian podcasts at Epic Life Church instead of sermons.
All right. Well,
I think you guys from now on should start every sci-fi Christian by saying there is no way that this cannot for sure exist.
I think that's a good plan.
Well, sometimes it cannot exist. There's sometimes
Zombie Jesus
doesn't
cannot exist. Okay.
Probably, I'm guessing Jesus was not a clone of the Father. I think it's safe to say.
Or a raccoon.
But that one, you cannot rule out.
I think you can.
No, you
we've
can't.
Already talked
not
about...
Not if Aslan is theoretically possible.
Okay, yes, you're right.
Then raccoon Jesus is also theoretically possible. Booyah!
Oh my gosh, you just hit the microphone so hard.
And you just woke the baby up next door. Congratulations.
All right, Ben.
Smooth move.
I think it's time to move on to some listener feedback.
Okay, I'm going to hit this right here.
It's a trap. The only thing more horrifying than your singing on the Sci-Fi Christian is actually seeing you dance live.
That's you're only a guest 1 week, so.
Yeah.
Being here live.
Yes, but I will sleep with that image in my mind.
I've been up for like a long time. I can't even do the math. It's been so long.
It's been a long day. Ben, what do we got for listener feedback?
We have an email from Brandon, actually a post on Facebook. And Brandon said, today at church, I asked a friend who works at the CDC about the zombie report they published. She said that she had heard about it and that some FEMA people were joking about it. I love it when discussions of zombies come up at church. Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Totally.
I mean, we've actually talked about it countless times at church.
So Skip.
Zombie Jesus at church?
All
isn't
the time.
That like blasphemy?
It's not really.
This has inspired me to ask an important Epic Life related question, and we can discuss this more off air, but could we have Zombie Week at Epic Life?
Oh, Zombie Week.
No.
I think that we will discuss it more off air, because I think that no probably meant I need to think about it a little more, and probably yes.
I am going to say no on air, and I will say no off air.
So probably yes.
So there's
and
a chance.
We'll let you know.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I am saying no.
If you
emphatically,
think theoretically,
clearly,
there's a parallel universe where we are currently having Zombie Day at Epic Life Church right
no,
now.
No, because I know that all of my counterparts in those other universes are also saying no.
That's not what Talon was explaining to us.
There's at least one that says yes.
There are infinite universes where you are saying yes.
No, there are not. Because
yes,
I don't believe they exist. There is one universe.
What?
Right now.
It is here, and I'm saying no zombies.
Right now,
church.
There's an alternate timeline where Skip Crust is sitting here with us recording the podcast. So, yeah, I think this is a great idea. Let's do this next Sunday.
Next
work
Sunday.
Okay?
Exactly.
As Actually, there are
can we get the fake blood?
Universes.
Yeah. For those of you who are listening who don't know, we do church in a movie theater. The only chance of a zombie being in church is if they're actually showing a zombie movie such as Shaun of the Dead in our movie
theater. Or Zombieland 2 might be in our movie theater someday.
Possibly. Yeah. But we would not be doing church while they're showing the movie, so there will be no zombies.
We could get up there for announcements. Brains.
Okay.
We need to move on.
Yeah.
There's nothing to move on to. That is the end of the show.
Wow. Well, let's invite our guests. Talon, Skip, do you guys have any last words you'd like to say here on the show or to our audience?
There is another universe where you are saying yes to Zombie Week at Epic Life Church.
Amen, brother.
That's good. Skip?
I will not address the last comment. I will just say thank you guys for letting me be on the show. I've wanted since the very first episode to guest host as on the Sci-Fi Christian, and so it's been an honor and a privilege. And if you ever want to have me back...
Yeah, it was
I
fun.
I completely fun. Agree with everything.
Good. That's perfect. that's the best kind of guest host.
That, yeah, you want to come back next week? Like, instead of Matt, we can just Skype you in?
Not cool.
I don't think we can do better than that. We are gonna end it on that note.
Well, that's all from here. I'm Anderson.
I'm Callan Gwynn.
I'm Skip Crust.
And I am Ben DeBona.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians,
signing off.